Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
This is the home of the Academy Awards, which are, in fact, happening right now. I see Gary is your name?
My name is Gary, Gary Allen Cole from Chicago.
Yeah. You know we're on TV, so you don't need to do that.
I know, but I want to.
Gary, is this your wife over here?
What's
your name?
Vicky Mines.
Hi, Vicky. Are you here with Gary?
That's my fiance.
Well, oh, really? When are you getting married?
July 18th.
Who's your favorite actor?
That man right there.
Denzel? Denzel, would you be the best man at their wedding? Come on.
I now pronounce you husband and wife. Kiss the bride.
He's Denzel, so it's legal.
720 WGN. We're talking Academy Awards, 312-981-7200. Andrea Darlis, Pete McMurray, in for Bill and Wendy.
You're an ordained minister.
I am.
Is that, would that be legal, what Denzel did, or do you have to say a few more things?
Well, it's different with celebrities, especially with Denzel, since he's been around for a while. I think it's good.
Okay.
I think it's absolutely
Denzel
fine.
Denzel gives you the blessing you're in.
Let's talk to a guy that was backstage last night at the Academy Awards from ABC News. It's Jason Nathanson. Jason, have you seen anything like that ending before?
It was crazy. And I just want to let you know, Denzel can also notarize anything that you documents, whatever. He does it all. But no, that was absolutely insane. It would be insane for a Golden Globes if something like that happened. It would be insane for, you know, SAG Awards. But to happen at the Oscars, to happen at the end of the Oscars, which producers, by the way, probably would have wished it happened in the middle of the Oscars because the ratings aren't so great. So if it would happen in the middle, more people probably would have watched. When you do something like that at the end of a 3-hour and 50-minute show, it doesn't really help the ratings as much as you would think. So, it was just, we've never seen anything like it, and we'll never see anything like it again.
Price Waterhouse has since apologized. They said, hey, it was our flub up. So explain this to me, because I was reading so many websites this morning. They have two different people with two different sets of envelopes, right?
Correct. There are two envelopes, one stage left, one stage right. There's actually two people who know from PricewaterhouseCoopers who know who won. They have the envelopes on their person. They also have the winners memorized. That way there can never be any screw-up. Nobody can ever go out on stage and announce the wrong film until they went out on stage and announced the wrong
film. And Jason, these are the only two people on the planet that know this, and they do it by hand. There's no computers whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's from what I understand. And they double check and triple check each other's work. And the reason there's two people and they have the envelopes, that way, if there was one envelope, you could go out there and read the wrong name and nobody would really know. There's two envelopes, so you can double check it. You know, they look at the other envelope to make sure, okay, that was Moonlight, that was Moonlight, that was Emma Stone, that was Emma Stone. But they also have it memorized. It's all a bunch of fail-safes. So the second envelope for Emma Stone winning Best Actress for La La Land, that's the envelope that made its way into the hands of Warren Beatty, which then he passed it off to Faye Dunaway, who then read the wrong thing, and then everything happened. The most egregious thing here, I think, you know, the envelope thing, that's a mess up and, you know, that's bad. But that they let them go on for 2 minutes and give their acceptance speeches.
Yes.
Somebody coming out there and saying, guys, stop, wait, hold on, this is crazy. No. Because the PricewaterhouseCoopers people, like I said, they memorized it. So they knew.
They knew right away.
Immediately what had gone wrong.
So how come they didn't run out there immediately, Jason? Because what we saw was much different than probably what you saw. I saw a security guy out there. I thought there was maybe a security breach or something.
Floor director.
Yeah, why didn't immediately they kind of run out and quash what happened?
Because this had never happened before, what they had, they didn't know the protocol. So they had to go to one of the producers or the floor managers and say, hey, this is a problem. Then they had to decide what to do. And, you know, you don't really know what to do in the middle of a live broadcast. Do you run out there? Do you not? Like, what do you do? So it took a little while, I guess, for everybody to figure out what to do. And then you see the guy with the headsets running out on the stage, which is never good. You know, it doesn't look good visually. It's not what the producers want, but it ends up being great TV.
The New York Daily News had a great article blaming Warren Beatty. They said he spent his entire adult life avoiding having to think. All he does is read. He feels words. And when he read those, he looked at it and he knew they were wrong, but he still gave it to Faye Dunaway to read.
He did throw her under the bus. I mean, you know, like a man, he gave it over to the woman to be the one who was right, wrong. Right.
Here, you do it. And then she takes off.
And then she and there's a great story on TMZ right now saying that they had bickered during the rehearsal and shit over who would actually be the one to read it. So he gave it to her knowing she wanted to jump on being the one to read it. And she read it so fast and didn't know. Look, I mean, it's live TV. So he gets out there. He clearly, if you watch it back, he clearly knew something was wrong. He was reading a card that said Emma Stone, La La Land, which was supposed to be for Best Picture. And he looks around and he's waiting for somebody to help him to realize he has the wrong card, and nobody did. So, you know, should he have done something different? Maybe. It's live TV, though. You're out there in front of a billion people. You don't know what's going on. So he did the best he could, I guess. I don't blame him. At the end of the day, it's PricewaterhouseCoopers.
First time in 83 years it said that PricewaterhouseCoopers had messed up.
Let's start looking around.
Actually, you know what? That's not exactly true. It happened in 1964. Sammy Davis Jr. was given the wrong envelope. He went out there to present two awards, two music-related awards. They gave him the second one first. So he announced the winner in that first category for somebody who wasn't even nominated in the category. And so he messed up and then said, hey, you guys gave me the wrong envelope in the middle of the thing. And then he quipped, wait till the NAACP hears about this.
Oh.
That was the end of it. So it's actually happened before, just not on this scale.
Well, what'd you think of Jimmy Kimmel last night? Because I thought he killed it.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought he was a lot of fun. Again, I'm worried about the ratings because the ratings were down. The early overnight numbers, the ratings are down 9%, which does not bode well. They always put that on the host, which is not necessarily fair. But I thought it was fun. That bit you played at the beginning where he brought in the people from outside was, you know, a real score. That could have gone horribly wrong, but I thought that was really funny. And he was great. What shows his worth is when this whole thing happened and went down, he was immediately with the Steve Harvey jokes. He was blaming himself. He was very self-deprecating and funny about that.
Yep.
And that's when you need somebody who's talented, who can think on the fly like that, and there's nobody better than him at that.
Have we heard from Faye Dunaway yet? Is she okay?
She walked into a party last night, and people asked to speak to her, and she said, nope. Going to happen.
I thought the best speech of the night was, and I was making fun of sound and sound mixing, when the sound mixer guy thanked his mother on stage. I thought that was the best speech. I know everyone's talking about Viola Davis, but it was such a passionate speech about his mother. I thought it was wonderful.
I got to say, I missed that one. Was this the guy who had lost 21 times before?
Yes.
20 times
yeah,
before?
Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which is amazing in and of itself. He had been nominated, this was his 21st nomination. He had lost 20 times before, the most losses of anybody ever in the Oscars. And so to finally win, and to win for Hacksaw Ridge, by the way, which did pretty well, walked away with two Oscars, which is a big surprise. And also a lot of people thanking Mel Gibson, just really cementing his comeback as somebody in Hollywood.
Jason, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Get some sleep. Jason Nathanson from ABC. I'm going to play this speech when we're going to take a break. We're going to talk Blackhawks coming up at 1:37. But last night's awards, I thought they were great until the bitter end.
Yeah, I did too. Right. I thought they were fine. It was long, but they were good.
He won for best sound mixing. Here's the winner. Thank you to his mother.
And a special thank you tonight to my mother, Skippy O'Connell, who 39 years ago got me a job in sound. And when I asked her, Ma, how can I ever thank you? She looked at me and she said, I'll tell you how you can thank me. You can work hard. You can work really hard. And then someday you go win yourself an Oscar and you can stand up there on that stage and you can thank me in front of the whole world.